there's this website, and I can't seem to avoid it. No matter what I do, it's just there, always popping up onto my screen. Actually, too, telling the truth, I don't think I'm really trying to avoid this website at all. After all, every time I think I should click that little red X up in the top right corner of the closet, I stop myself and I say, tomorrow. So instead, I've resorted to leaving this page up in the background, convincing myself that a wee little look and click every now and then isn't really too harmful. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it's hard to stop yourself. No one else is around. It's late at night. It calls to you. Black, small, light, that thin gold ring. Oh, that large, large aperture. At nighttime, 58 millimeter, 1.4 camera lens from B&H Photo Video. Ooh, boy. Do you think I'm going to say something different? Wanting what you should. So this lens, it just sits there and stares back at me all day and night. I so desperately want to click that add to cart button, but there's just this one teensy little problem. The cost. $1,600. Now maybe $1,600 is just a drop in your bucket, but not to me. Not to my wife. And with this, I presently own two good lenses already that cover this focal length, thus making this new one deeply unnecessary and stupidly redundant. Even worse, I actually bought this lens once before, some years ago, and I sold it after a period of dust collection and non-use. And yet, for whatever reason, I want that lens back. That gold ring, that huge, huge aperture. I want it again. Even though I'm still not convinced I would have any good use for it at all. But that's how wants and desires and lusts usually go, right? They're so often beyond the horizon of our rational thinking, what's in our best interests, especially long term, and we hardly ever consider the cost. It's not just material want that I'm talking about, you know, like that kitchen because the Joneses down the street put in that, you know, the white cabinets and that new beautiful range hood, or your new iPhone because your present iPhone is perfectly functional as it is, but it's missing that edgy Roman numeral. Not talking about just that, but also the frats and the sororities that we embarrass ourselves rushing for, the jobs and the careers that we chase after and lock ourselves into that slowly kill us, the boyfriends, the girlfriends, the husbands, the wives that we choose for all the wrong reasons. Because we're lonely, because we just want comfort, we just want to be touched, because we just want that change, we want that lifestyle, because we can't face another night alone, because we can't face another year or term of the same, and because we convince ourselves that nothing could be so depressing, so boring, so ordinary, and so wrong as the same. But sometimes, as difficult as it may be, it'd be better for us to just hold course, to wait, and to trust, to continue, and to appreciate what we already have. Now, all of this shouldn't be generalized. Sometimes it's in our best interest is to escape and to run as far away as possible. Obviously, I get that. But I also know that being patient and remaining anchored down is easier said than done, and maybe especially more for what is different, for what we shouldn't, for the grass. The grass is greener than the other side. Take our text from Samuel this morning. The people not only had Samuel leading, but God at the helm. They had two entities, one leading God, mind you, giving them instruction, and still it didn't satisfy them. Much the same way I had two lenses covering the same focal length, the people for some reason wanted another voice, and more, they wanted this third, this new leader to push out the first two. Completely unnecessary, undeniably stupid. But I thought they wanted me. Well, they tried justifying it by what about Samuel and his son's sins, but in the end, it's just what they wanted. Because it was new, because it was different, because, as they said, like children often do, it's what everyone else around us has. So after unsuccessfully pushing their case forward with Uncle Samuel, Daddy God steps in and paints a vivid picture of just what their desires would get them into, what kind of harsh pastures they would soon find on this other side. They'll be reminded that God tells them this morning. These will be the ways of the king that will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties to plow his ground, to repeat, to reap his harvest, to make his implements of war, and to be the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be his perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take one tenth of your grain and your vineyards and give it to his officers. He will take the best of your cattle, your donkeys, and put them into his work. He will take one tenth of your flocks, and you have the luxury of being his slaves. Chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will answer you in that day. The people hear this warning, and they're like, give us that king anyway. Incredible. They really wanted this warrior king, didn't they? They saw an opportunity to disrupt the apple cart, to upend what had always been, to bring in someone like an outsider, a strong man, a confidence man, a man who didn't talk in any of these prophetic messages or intelligent parables, but a simpler, more provocative man who could get things done, no matter the cost. Even if bringing in this man, this strong man, this king, meant that his governing would be by means of bullying, by taking what's yours, even if it meant engaging in needless battles and petty wars, even if it meant that their very own freedoms, reputations, occupations, and lifestyles would be put at great and terrible risk. And make no mistake, this was not just an Old Testament problem for those people way back in Samuel's time, but it's also a New Testament problem for the people in Christ's time. You see, they had their own vision of what the Messiah should be like. They thought that their Messiah should come sweeping in on a war horse, calling armies to himself, vanquishing the Roman enemy, and condemning all the demonic to hell, to Gehenna. But instead of getting that Messiah, they encountered this humble, not just Old and New Testament problem, but it is the very problem that we find ourselves in. We want, and we want, and we want, and we want, and we want what we shouldn't. And we do it again, and again, and again, in faith and in life. We vote against our own interests, our own well-being, our family's well-being, our grandchildren's well-being, our community's well-being, and we will do so again and again and again until we learn. And it gets us into such a mess, such a darn mess that, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could just go back and see that things were already pretty darn great as they were? Change, no doubt, is always necessary. It's always important. Especially those changes that are underwritten for our fulfillment. But not these kind of changes. Not complete annihilation. Everything that we once were and believed in. For in that day, we will cry out because of our King, whom we have chosen for ourselves, but the Lord will not answer us in that day. I pray, I'm not a praying man often, but I have said prayers recently. And I pray that we all return, me too, to soon coming with the word of the Lord first, and measure up all other moral words, even my own, against God's. So where our words don't